The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. The information provided is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or other qualified healthcare professional before changing your healthcare treatment, diet, or lifestyle.
Hello and welcome to the Ocean Mist Power Hour. We're so glad to have you here with us today. I'm Misty Young with my co-host, Sherry Carey Baum, registered nurse, nurse midwife, master of science in nursing, all-around nutrition geek. Hello.
Oh my goodness. I didn't know where to butt in.
I know.
You were doing so well. I was like, oh, and I'm just staring at you like, oh, okay, wow. Okay,
well, we're just going to go there. Well, we're coming to you today, of course, from KCIW 100.7 FM on your radio dial. We like to say that this is the little radio station that could, that did, that is. That's right. It's the little radio station based out of Brookings Harbor, Oregon, and Curry County, Oregon. This is the home of the Great Pacific Northwest Gateway. That's what we like to say. It is the gateway to the Great Pacific Northwest. It's not as far west as you can get in the continental U.S., but it's close.
It's very, very close.
It's close. And, you know, we really love to talk about nutrition. Now, before we talk about nutrition today, and we've got a pretty darn interesting subject for you, let's give a moment to say thank you to all the folks behind the scenes here at KCIW that help make this programming good for you. That's the folks that are in the studio, that are in the background, that are doing production and editing and sound, or those folks that are on the board of directors out in the community and volunteers that are helping to make KCIW this little station that brings you quality programming. So, thank you to those folks.
Yes.
And thank you to you, Sherry Carey Baum.
Thank you to you, Misty.
I'm so glad you're here. It's always fun to get together and talk about the lifestyle issues that we find to be really important. You know, ultimately, the way you live your life on a day-to-day basis, those moment-by-moment decisions show up in your health, don't they?
Oh, man. So today, should I spill the beans? Today, we're talking about osteoporosis, osteopenia, and the whole food plant-based diet. And the whole reason I wanted to talk about it was I fell on a ladder.
Oh, here we go. You're going to break it out.
It was a tough one.
Yes.
So I'm on the very top of the ladder, and all of a sudden, both of, you know, the whole stair thing collapsed to the ground.
It just, like it just went straight down.
Kind of like a cartoon.
Like a cartoon, but it wasn't funny.
It was not funny. It was funny later. After I was okay, I felt like, oh, that would have been funny. That's like a banana peel humor, right?
Right. Did you lay there for a second kind of wondering, am I hurt?
I did. I actually wondered if I needed to go in. And the whole reason I'm bringing it up is because I fit every single risk factor for osteoporosis, right?
Yep.
White.
Yep.
Blondish.
Yep. I like that ish on the end.
I'm honest to a fault. And thin and 60.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I have all those risk factors that really put me at risk for breaking a bone.
Yeah.
And I didn't. I walked away from it.
You walked away.
I walked away.
Wow.
I do have to admit, I didn't immediately walk away. I kind of did the butt scoot away.
Nice. The butt scoot and boogie.
The butt scoot. You know, like, I don't know if I can walk. I'm just going to scoot my bum away from this catastrophe and then reevaluate. So I think it's important that we talk about it because people think you have to have dairy for calcium for your bones.
Right.
And truthfully, if at 60, I can fall off. And I was at the top. I wasn't at the bottom.
Yeah.
I was at the top of the ladder. And to be able to fall down and walk away, literally, no ER visit,
no nothing.
That makes me feel really happy and proud of the fact that I was able to do that. Now, do I want to test my theory twice?
Not a good idea, no.
My husband said, don't you get on any ladders ever again.
Yeah, I'm with him on that. I'm like, wait a minute now. You're getting on a ladder. You got to have a spotter, you know?
You do.
Yes.
You do. I won't do it alone again.
Good, okay.
I probably don't know that he'll let me on a step stool after
that.
Right,
dude, you have a friend, that would be me, that you could call and say, I'm doing my windows today. Can you come over? And the answer is going to be yes.
Well, I'm not doing the windows anymore. Yeah. I mean, I was trying to get help with the windows, but I really ran into a little bit of a roadblock.
But you know what? You didn't break anything. I mean,
nope,
the bottom line is you crashed off a ladder. You hit the deck, right?
I did.
Hit the deck.
Luckily, it wasn't cement. I hit a deck and my shoulders and my hips and my leg, basically. So really, truly, to come out of it.
You know what?
A testimony
to it really is
what I eat.
That's right. And
really
I remember the very day this happened, I think we talked on the phone and we were both, I don't want to say we were laughing because we weren't. What we laughed about was, isn't it a testament to healthy living that you bounced? And I think your actual, I think your actual word was good food, good body.
Yes, you know? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And people don't realize it, but the calcium that you get from plants really is more readily absorbable to your bones and helps to rebuild bones versus dairy. And that's a hard thing to get across to people. They don't understand it because we've really been marketed to very, very well.
Yes.
Right? What is the milk industry good for the bones?
All right, it does a body good.
Body good. Yeah. And we're finding that that's really not the case.
It's just not true.
It's not true at all. And there's a couple of reasons. First of all, when you're getting a lot of animal protein, as well as taking in animal dairy, you're not absorbing it as well. And part of that has to do with the acidic reaction in your body, because meat is very acidic. So you're not going to be able to use and benefit from that calcium that you're getting from milk. Whereas when you're eating vegetables, leafy greens, broccoli, beans, legumes, they all have a wonderful amount of calcium in them. It's more readily absorbable to your bones and to your body because it's more alkaline or more base. It's not acidic. So your body can actually use it more readily. Also, if you think about it, there's magnesium, there's potassium that are in that same food. It's not like you're just taking a calcium pill.
Right.
You're taking a multivitamin in that kale, in those collard greens, in that broccoli that is going to allow your body to absorb.
Well, you're taking it in the natural format. I mean, you're chewing the kale. You're chewing the collard greens. You know, you're eating the beets or the plums or the apples, by the way. Totally on the side. But recently you did a deal where, you know, you went and helped some people. Do you remember they gave you apples and plums?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was a lovely treat, by the way. Local apples and plums.
And thank you so much for sharing those with me. I made the most amazing applesauce with the apples. It was gone shortly after. I mean, I ate every single bite of that. And the plums, I cut them up. They were phenomenal.
They were delicious.
They were the best homemade or homegrown plums I've ever had.
There's nothing like getting your food locally because those nutrients, those vitamins, they're all still packed with them.
Yeah.
And so when you eat them, you still get all those sugars.
Yeah.
Because they've only been picked a day before.
Oh my gosh.
So the sugars and the vitamins, they're not getting exposed to a lot of the light and the air
and
for as long a period. So you have more nutrition, more flavor.
Right. And these, you know, like, this is going to sound so weird, but I've been craving red bell peppers lately. I want them so bad, and I haven't been able to get them.
I wonder if you need some extra vitamin C or something.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. But I've been just craving red bell peppers. Part of it, I think, is because I've got some black chickpeas that I'm ready to make into a hummus.
I got my black chickpeas.
And so I'm ready to make them into hummus, and I'm going to make it with a big old garlic-flavored hummus. And I'm just dying to have red bell peppers. But the last time I got red bell peppers, and this kind of made me mad, actually. The stickers on the red bell peppers said, imported from the Netherlands.
Wait a minute.
Right.
Did they write them on a boat? I mean, what the heck?
I know. I want to say I was pissed, and I was kind of. In fact, just last night, Gary and I were laying in bed, and I was talking about it. I said, what in the world are we doing importing red bell peppers from the Netherlands? Can you tell me we can't grow those things in Oregon or California or Nevada? I mean, the Netherlands.
You're so funny. Oh. I'm talking to Gary in bed.
We're talking about red bell peppers. Well, you know, come on now. We have fascinating conversations. Well, of course, then we asked Alexa, how far is it from here to the Netherlands? And she said it was 5,265 miles away. And I'm like, we can't get red bell peppers from closer than 5,000 miles?
Crazy.
Isn't that stupid?
Well, and I'm wondering how much sunshine they're getting, too. I mean, they have shorter days.
Right.
Yeah. it's totally crazy. If you had said I got them from Mexico, Chile, I'd be like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Maybe that makes more sense. But the Netherlands, really? Nope. Come on,
nope.
Now.
No. Nope.
That's just crazy. But the whole point of it is when you can eat locally, you cut out that distance, that travel. And look, I got to think that in order to get red bell peppers are kind of tender and soft, yeah. And right, they're a little bit maybe...
They're ripened on the vine longer.
Yeah, but they're also like, they're delicate.
They are.
So what has to happen to a red bell pepper? It's got to probably be packed nicely and put in shade and put in a box. And, you know, just all the things to get a red bell pepper. I mean, come on. Now you're a master gardener. Can I grow those in my yard, do you think? Maybe
you
not here.
You might be, because you have more sunshine than we do, because we're up in the trees.
Yeah.
So you might be able to, because you get hotter than we do. I would just protect them from the wind.
Okay, I want to try next year, I think, because the garden has gotten bigger. I've been
Getting it bigger. Taken up your yard.
I know, I love it. It's so much fun.
I picked cabbage the other day.
You did?
Huge cabbage. I was so excited.
A green one or a red one?
It was green.
From your own garden?
From my
and
own
you
garden.
Grew it. Oh my
I
gosh.
Did, and there were bug bites and everything else.
You just cut those parts
I don't
off.
Care.
Yeah.
It means it tastes even better.
That's right. Yeah, so it's already been pre-tested for you. Well, coming back to this idea that, you know, the local produce, the local foods have the right nutrients in them for your body, and they haven't been depleted over this long course of, and who knows if they put any kind of irradiation on it or, you know, spray it with some kind of, even though I only buy organic, I saw something recently that said, if your organic bananas have little black spots on them, it's because they've been treated with a ripening agent. And I'm like, well, how does that make it organic? That's not organic.
I don't know, but you can only do what you can do. So we can't go completely
freakish.
I always tell people, you know, I eat whole food plant-based.
Yes.
And 95% of the time I am on it.
Yes.
And I'm good at it. And then there might be 5% of the time that you may see me in a local restaurant eating French fries.
It's going to happen
it
sometimes.
It may happen.
Yeah.
You don't have to be perfect. So don't forget clean 15 and
the
dirty dozen.
Okay.
So the clean 15 are fruits and vegetables that we know don't have a high level of pesticides.
Yes.
So don't spend the extra money. And anybody can look up this on the internet, clean 15.
Yeah.
Dirty dozen, on the other hand, are vegetables and fruits that have a very high level of pesticides.
Yeah, I think strawberries are at the very top of that list.
I know. We've talked about this. My kids hate it when I say, are you really going to eat that little cancer ball?
I know, right?
They go, Mom.
And you're like, yeah, don't do it. There's some that there. That's one of those things. You don't eat strawberries if you can't find them organic. You just don't eat them.
Well, it's better to avoid them.
Yeah.
And you can get them, you can get this list, and
yes,
it changes every single year.
Yep.
If you
just depends.
Research it, clean 15
and dirty dozen.
Dirty dozen.
Yeah. Thank you for going down that sidebar path with me. It occurs to me that, you know, the things that grow closest to us mimic what we need in our own environment, right?
Right.
What we might
exactly
need here in Southern Oregon could be different than what people need in the very furthest reaches of Florida. I don't know.
Well, I think culturally, and it may not apply anymore, but it was culturally, you ate what was in your community.
Yes.
Right? Like American Indians ate a lot of wheat and grains and corn.
What was available to them.
Right. In the South, a lot of beans and collard greens.
Squash.
And all kinds of different foods that are easily grown there.
Yes.
We're lucky here because we really do have more opportunity to grow. And then you can cheat like I do. I have a greenhouse.
No, I love your greenhouse. What do you have growing in it this year?
So far, I've started with spinach and lettuce, and then I've got more kale. I have kale everywhere. It is coming out of my every little plot you can find.
It has kale in it.
Yeah. And this year I'm hoping to do a big container and do potatoes, onions, and garlic. Because I eat so much. This sounds crazy, but no, I'm looking for an old boat that doesn't sail very well anymore.
No kidding.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah,
I've seen it before. Yep.
And it's like a container garden.
Right. Basically, it's like a raised bed.
Well, of course. Yeah,
right.
That makes sense. That's awesome.
I haven't found my boat yet, but we're looking. And it's a really great idea to contain the potatoes and the onions and the garlic. And because we fight with deer all the time,
yes.
I mean, the deer are, they're adorable. I like them. I just don't like to share.
You're like, guys, this is not the Sherry Bomb Buffet.
No, move it out. They don't like potatoes and all that, so I don't have to cover them up as much.
Yeah,
so cool. That's my goal for this winter, if I can find the right
nice.
The right one.
And you know what I discovered here, and I know we only live a few miles apart, but our climates are so different
between
our two houses. Red potatoes did extremely well here.
Isn't that nice?
Russets did okay, but they didn't get super big by the time the plants kind of died back. But the red potatoes got really big, and they were just phenomenal. They were so good.
So delicious. Well, yeah. And what I love about when you garden, so the difference is, Misty, you live on the coast.
Yep.
And you're open. You're not covered with trees.
No trees.
I actually live in the hills or the mountains, I guess, and I've got trees everywhere.
Yes.
So I have raised beds kind of everywhere.
Yeah.
What I did is I looked where was the most sun for the most hours.
Right.
And so I have one spot on my front lawn. I have one spot on the driveway.
Yes.
And if I find my container for potatoes and carrots and all of that and garlic, I can move it around. So I have all these stations that are chasing basically the sun.
Chasing the sun, yeah. And you grow year round? You could grow year round.
Yeah, why
here,
not?
Right?
Especially the winter crops, right? Kale. Mm-hmm. Well, kale, you can grow all year round.
You can grow
I admit it. And it's like a weed. I mean, you got to really be mean to it to kill it. Cabbages, broccoli. I do have broccoli now because we are about 10 degrees colder than you.
Yeah.
So I have broccoli. Spinach is great. Lettuce is great in the winter. You just have to watch how much water because we do get a lot of rain.
Yeah. Well, it'll be fun. I'm really excited. I mean, you know, I planted my garden in the middle of March. And it seemed like it took a really long time for it to take off, but it's very mature now. And it's, I mean, we've eaten a ton of stuff out of it, and it's been a lot of fun. Yeah, it really is. A couple days ago, I literally went out, I cut zucchini and broccoli, and I came in and I stir fried it with some tofu and I made burritos.
It's great. That fun?
Yes.
I love, too, what you're doing is you're bringing food directly in. You're still getting those phytonutrients from the plant that the plant uses. So the reason I like get a little excited that the bugs like my cabbage is, you know, when the bugs and whatnot, they're eating your food, your food actually creates a defense.
Oh,
right. So it's like, don't eat this. No, you know, and they try to create defenses, which is chemicals and phytonutrients. And then you eat those, and you're eating their defense
system. It's the phytochemicals that the plant is making to defer
defend
the bugs.
Itself.
Yeah.
Right. And now you are going to protect yourself.
Against
it's
bugs.
So exciting.
Oh, it is. It is.
Now,
that is so cool.
Believe me, if they take over my garden and they eat the whole garden, there's war. I don't care about defending my body. At this point, I'm going to be defending
my
food.
Garden. Yeah.
Yeah. But otherwise, I don't mind sharing a little bit.
You know what I think one of the things I love the most about you is, you just said a minute ago, well, you know, 95% of the time you're going to find me eating healthy and 5% you might find me eating French fries. Well, I've known you for about a year and I'm pretty sure I've never seen you eat French fries in that whole year. I mean, I think it, you know, it was before coronavirus that we got together. I'm pretty sure we've gone out to eat a few times. And I never saw you eat French fries. So I know your percentage is higher than that, one of those. The key factor is you live this lifestyle. You don't talk about it and not do it. You talk about it. You live it. You recommend it. And I know from personal experience how huge it is. And I'm eager at some point in the near future to really kind of talk about my experience. The thing I'll talk about right now that I think is huge is I've lost 18 pounds.
Wow.
I know.
Yay. And it's, oh my gosh.
I know. It feels so good. Oh. It feels so, so good. But 18 pounds down since December to now, and it's September. So 18 pounds is a lot of weight to lose. And it feels good. I feel
Isn't
good.
That nice?
Yeah, I feel light on my feet. And I don't feel like there was during any period in that whole time, I never felt deprived.
Right.
Or that I was going hungry or anything. In fact, I feel like I eat more food now than I ever did before. I'm like, how is this possible? How is it that I'm eating more quantity of food and my body shape is going down?
Okay, what a lovely question. And
yeah,
let
go,
me
girl.
Answer that. No, it's because we're doing calorie density, right? We're calculating what we eat, and what you're eating is high volume, high density. It fills you up. It makes you feel full. It makes you feel happy. But the calories are really low.
Right.
Right? Compare a tablespoon of oil and an apple. Which would you rather have? Which is going to fill you up more? Mm-hmm. And an apple, actually, for a tablespoon of olive oil, it's probably 2.5 apples.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? Because you're looking at 100 to 120 calories for one tablespoon of oil. And then, what, a medium-sized apples, what, 60?
70, something like that. Yeah.
So you're really allowing that volume, but it's just naturally low calorie.
It's naturally low calorie. And I'm so glad you brought up oil, because that was really the thing for me, right? It was really the factor. It came down, you know, you began teaching me about whole food plant-based living a year ago, woke me up out of a weird slumber. And then I stopped eating so many processed foods, the transition foods. And I know if you've listened to the Ocean Mist Power Hour in the past, you've heard these stories before, but this part's a little bit different. You know, you helped me wean off of the transition foods.
Well, because I want you to think about what is in transition foods.
Oil.
High salt, oil, and sugar.
Yep.
So even if it has a label vegan, if you read the ingredients, it's not healthier.
No, it's highly processed.
Right. And fat is... Oil is pure fat, fat.
And, you know, what I've learned is after I gave up the transition foods and I saw some progress, but then I kind of stalled, right? Like I saw some progress, I lost a few pounds and then I stalled. And I kept saying to you, I'm like, I'm frustrated. I feel like I've stalled and I'm doing all the things right. And you pretty much said, it's really time to look carefully at the amount of fat that you're eating. And you started talking about peanut butter, and that was a downfall for me. I love peanut butter. It's so good. But you said it to me more than once, enough times for me to kind of go, oh, okay, so a serving size is 2 tablespoons, or is it 1 tablespoon? Whatever
it is. It's two. It's not big.
Yeah, it's not slather the bun as much as you can, you know. So I gave that up. I gave up.
You were eating a lot of cashews, too.
I was eating a lot of cashews.
And I'm not against cashews. I'm not against peanuts at all. It's the serving size.
Well, and all the nuts. I mean, I was eating almonds and hazelnuts and... walnuts. I was eating a lot of nuts.
And nuts are so good for you, especially walnuts.
Super good for you.
They really add a lot of the omega-3s, which we want for our brain.
Yep.
But when you're on weight loss mode or when you're concerned about your health, cardiovascular health, you need to cut back on it and know what a serving is.
Right.
I mean, people don't even know what a serving of cheese is. And it's like, the size of 2 dice, right?
Oh my
Isn't
gosh,
that what
right.
cheese serving
I guess.
Is?
I don't know. I can't even imagine
who
cheese
ate
anymore.
That little?
Nobody did.
Nobody.
No, you sidle up at the cocktail party to the cheese thing and you eat half the plate. You know, let's be real. That's what people do.
Oh, yeah. They got those little toothpicks and they just stab them.
Stab and stab.
But if you think about it, a serving of nuts is, you know, the opening of a small palm.
Yes.
Right? Yep. A serving of nuts of cashew, I think it's a quarter cup.
Right. It's
That's tiny. Not a lot.
Right.
So what you and I talked about, because I know you love the cream sauces and you love the cheese sauces.
Yes.
So use that quarter cup.
Yep.
Or a quarter cup between the two of you.
Yep.
Both you and Gary. And then substitute white beans or steamed cauliflower into your cheese sauces.
Yeah. When you say cheese sauce, I want to make sure our listeners know that we're talking about a cashew cheese or a cream sauce made with. Well, the one I love to make is potatoes, cauliflower, carrots, cashews, and then onions and some spices, you know, turmeric and some other spices.
Nutritional yeast gives you that cheesy taste.
Gosh, that stuff is so good.
But you're cutting out the high calories and substituting food that's going to nourish, heal your body, fill you up, give you energy.
Yes.
So you're not completely lethargic after you eat. You can move around. And it's a different way of thinking. People think that we don't have beautiful food or we don't enjoy food.
Oh, my God. Food is so gorgeous.
My food is so good. And every time I go to a potluck, I swear to you.
Yours is gone first.
Always.
I know.
Just infuriates me. You know, I thought you guys didn't like my food. What are you doing? No, I try to be graceful because I think it's nice that they realize that this is how I eat and I'm not sacrificing taste or anything else and I'm boosting my nutrition.
Yeah, I know I had a health experience recently where it was very, very clear that having said no for a lot of years, and it's been a lot of years that I've said, no to animal products, no right. meat, no cheese, no dairy, no sour cream, no butter, no eggs. I've said no to all of those things. And then in the recent year or so, no process, no right. oil, no, you know, really cutting down. No, when I went ultra low fat, that was the next, that was this final phase for right. me that's helped me get to where I'm at in my body. And when I went to that ultra low fat level, that's when my weight really started just right. falling off. Literally, there were some scale moments that I completely passed by. Like I went from the high 70s to the low 70s like that. There was
and
not
remember,
even a transition.
I always used, you'd get so frustrated. You're like, it's not changing. It's not changing,
Sherry.
Look at this. And Misty, you would show me your scale app that would
yes.
go through the line. And I just kept saying, be
it's
patient. You're at a plateau. Your body is readjusting. And what I find interesting is because I've lost 25 to 30 pounds and kept it off for 5 years
yeah,
now, I think.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But even when I get derailed because
yes.
we're vacationing or I splurge and I have the French fries or whatever, my new normal is low.
Right.
So my body readjusts to a lower level where when I weighed 30 pounds more and my BMI was in the overweight category,
yes.
I always kind of fluctuated back to that higher weight, no matter
right.
what
no
I
matter
did.
No matter what, yeah.
You know, if I went on the all those lovely bizarre diets like the cabbage soup
right,
or
yeah.
the slim fast. That one, it really
oh, how
irritated.
About the lemon cleanse, you know?
Yeah, I could never get on board with that one. You know, what was it? Maple syrup,
cayenne pepper. Yeah.
Oh, man, who eats that or drinks it? And I'm a chewer. I like to chew. So
yeah.
They didn't work for me, but it didn't seem like it mattered what I did. I wasn't changing the scale. And I think it was almost kind of my body's way of saying, no, no, this is how much you weigh. This is where you need to stay. And I think it's happening now at this lower weight is now that's my new normal. That's
yeah.
where my body wants to readjust
love
to.
Love it. I love it. I love that you, you know, you kind of, you were so patient with me through that whole phase. And now my whole mindset has shifted so that I feel this whole sense of hope and optimism. That
yeah.
I'm going to reach my goal weight. I'm now completely in the normal categories.
Okay, wait. Did you think I was lying for all
board.
Those
no.
months when I'm
no.
like, just be patient. Hold on.
No, but I felt so betrayed by my body. I'm like, I'm doing all the things. I wanted to cry, you know.
But you tweaked it. You
I did.
Were doing a lot of things that were really helping your health and really supporting good health and is supporting a really nice healthy BMI.
Yes.
But it was tweaking it. And
yes.
it was looking at it different. Now when you sit down, you know, well, I'm still hungry. How about fruit? How about
right.
little extra vegetables?
Right.
Or a salad before
yes.
I eat my dinner.
Yes.
Or my favorite, especially in the winter, is a huge pot of vegetable soup. You
oh,
start
yeah.
your meal with vegetable soup.
Right.
All it is
nutrients.
Vegetable broth,
yeah.
onions, garlic, seasonings, and every vegetable you can get your hands on.
Yeah.
And that's what you start your meal with so that when you're looking at those calorie-dense foods, you're not as hungry.
Yeah. You know, Dr. Greger calls that a crowding out strategy, doesn't
Absolutely.
He?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so and I remember when we very first started talking, you're like, well, you need, you know, one thing that would be a really good strategy is to add more fruits and vegetables. And I kept thinking, well, how do you add more fruits and vegetables into what I've already got? How do I do that? Well, that was the crowding out factor.
Yep.
And the things that have been the most amazing in this whole process is my body feels better. And coming back to bones, my bones feel stronger. Now,
isn't
I
that nice?
Don't know how you
can
feel that.
You're not going to test it and fall off the ladder.
No, I'm not going to test it and fall off the ladder. But I do. I feel like the types of nutrients, the things that I eat, I'm eating fruits and vegetables and whole
right.
grains and nuts and seeds and beans. And, you know, I am eating things out of a garden. And when I go to the grocery store, I recently had to send Gary to pick up an order from Fred's, right? You can do the order on your app.
Right.
And he went to
right.
pick it up. Everything came from the produce aisle. Every
oh,
single
thing. Oh,
that's
so exciting.
I know. I was like, this is awesome.
Well, and the trick that we teach people who are new to eating a whole food plant-based diet is look at your grocery store. Right?
Yes.
So you kind of want to stay out of the middle.
Yes.
Right? Because you've got your fruit and vegetables.
Yep.
And then, you know, reality is we're going to be eating frozen foods. here right. and there. Yeah. So you stick with your frozen area of the vegetables and the fruit,
right? Not the ice cream, right? Yeah.
And you stay in those areas. So I know exactly where the beans are.
Yeah.
I know where the rice is. I know where the fruit and vegetables are. If you send me off to go look for dairy or eggs or meat, I just kind of look like a deer in the
I don't even know where those things are. Isn't that weird?
They're at the back because they want you to walk through all the processed food to get there so that you get tempted.
Yeah, yeah.
So rule number one, know your grocery store and avoid the chips and the crackers and the dairy and the meat aisles. You don't even need to waste your time going through those. Why are you even there? And then the other thing is, don't go hungry.
Right.
Right? Because you're going to pick up those chips. You're going to pick up those foods that really don't support your health, that are high salt, high fat, and high sugar. And if you look at the ingredients, who knew they put sugar in potato chips?
Oh, come on.
They do, crackers, all of those things, and a lot of oil too. So knowing where you're going, not being hungry, and then make a list. Mm-hmm. Because when you eat this way, you do want to prepare so you don't waste money. Mm-hmm. It's a less expensive way of eating. We mm-hmm. know that. Mm-hmm. But you also don't want to waste your money. So think about it. Once a week, think about what would be good for the family to eat.
Yeah. You know, two other things that come to mind. I was interviewing a woman this week about her approach to, you know, whole food plant-based living. And she said one thing that she had done that made a big difference in her life was, she said, I now shop more European style.
Right.
So she said, I'll go to the grocery store more frequently because I've planned what I want. And I know that, if I just go every other day or so, I get enough stuff for every other day. And I don't have things in the back of the fridge that are sliming down or I forgot or I changed my mind. She said, I kind of just got into a rhythm of more freshness that way. And the second thing, this was pretty big. You know, Gary and I have these fascinating conversations in bed at night. Last night.
And they're not what we would think.
Not what we would think. Yeah, our pillow talk is, you know what was really interesting when that Fred's order came in? Everything came from the produce section. Yeah. But what he said to me that was so cool was he said, it keeps you from going off in the market. It keeps you from walking down aisles where you don't, you know, it keeps you from those impulse buys.
It does.
So you have a list, you submit the list, they pick it out for you, and then frankly,
it's contactless.
Oh, so you're
cutting it off right at the...
Yeah, you're not even going into the grocery store. So,
That's smart.
What do all of those things have to do with bone health? And how does eating fresh and
You're so
wholesome...
funny. You're like, okay,
back.
Rewind. I love it. So really, okay, so what does it have to do with it? Let's tie it in. What it has to do with it is when you're eating more fruits and vegetables and beans, you're supporting your bones better than if you were having dairy and meat,
yes.
honestly. Because we already talked about the alkaline, which is the base,
yes.
versus the acidic environment in
yes.
our body. And we know that when you have an acidic environment, the bones aren't absorbing the calcium as well. As a matter of fact, your body is going to try to take that calcium from your bones to offset the acidity in your system.
Wow.
So you're kind of undermining yourself.
Yes.
And they've done study after study with people who have a very high dairy intake, especially as teens. I think that's one of the latest studies that came out that said young children that had the high active young children in sports and whatnot that had the highest dairy intake had more breaks than the children that didn't have dairy intake.
Isn't that crazy that, you know, we think... Again, thanks to the marketing and the marketing industry that's really supported. And I hate to get into the whole conspiracy theorist thing, but I can't help myself when I look at big food, big pharma, big medical, big advertising, big all of that stuff together makes a lot of money.
They make a lot of money.
They make a lot of money.
And profit is the drive.
Right.
Profit is the drive. And so if you can convince people that they have to have milk for strong bones, you've done a great job because that's old information. And we already almost believe it. We've all been told that as children.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
You have to have your milk. You have to have milk three times a day. And we're really undermining our health by pushing so much dairy. We've already seen some new studies that are showing a very strong link between dairy and breast cancer in women.
You know, so, in one of your and my favorite books, The China Study.
Oh, I do love that book.
I do too. T. Colin Campbell and Thomas Campbell II, both of them doctors. You know, one's a PhD doc, a research doc, and the other is his son. He's a medical doc. And they have a whole section in here in this book about protein particularly and about osteoporosis.
Right.
And the research actually literally shows, I'm looking at a chart right here, that the vegetable to animal protein intake ratio, the higher your animal protein intake, the higher your hip fracture incidence across the board. And they've actually been able to look at the association between urinary calcium excretion and dietary protein intake. So the more protein you're eating, the more calcium you're literally peeing out of your body.
Right. And no longer accessible to your bones.
Right.
Not to mention, I've never had one, thank goodness, but kidney stones sound pretty horrid. I mean, every man I've ever talked to goes, yeah, the pain's just like having a baby, right, Sherry? You were a midwife.
Yeah, it's no.
Let's see, how big is a kidney stone?
Right, how big is a baby's head or body? Ooh.
Now, I mean, you might be able to compare it, but let's not get into too much graphic detail. They'd have to put in
a medical
rating. Well, that was an R over 30.
Oh, my God.
Restricted. But the question is, how do you keep the calcium in your bones? Because that's where we want it.
We want it in
our
bones.
So when you have injury to your bones, basically the bones are breaking down and the calcium and the minerals that you take in are what help to repair it. And we know that after you hit, I think it's 20 for young men and 18 for women, you really have more bone loss than build.
Oh my gosh, that young.
Isn't that crazy? That young. So what you're taking in and how you can rebuild that bone is very important. And our standard American diet, again, is undermining our health.
Yes.
Not just because of the calcium from dairy,
right,
cheese, yogurt, all of that. But also how you keep your bones in your body is you watch what you eat. So excessive salt. We know that's the cornerstone of most processed food, right? Mm-hmm. Salt and sugar. Mm-hmm. Salt actually increases the excretion of the calcium too. Mm. So it's no longer available for your bones. So they really recommend that you not have more than 1,000 to 2,000, I think it's micrograms of sodium in your diet.
Mm-hmm.
So when your blood level of calcium is too low, the calcium leaves your bones and it gets kind of distributed and then excreted out. And
wow.
Salt causes that.
And salt
increases
causes
it.
That. Does salt make you hold water or does it make you pee more often?
It makes you pee more.
Wow.
It's very dehydrating. Or some people that have a high level of salt also, it gets into their interstitial tissue.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see people with the really swollen ankles and things like that. And that's because the body's doing its best to trap this fluid and not releasing it.
Wow.
So cutting back on salt and actually increase your fluids. That's what I used to tell my ladies because they didn't understand, no, if I drink more fluids, I'm going to get more swollen. No, it doesn't work that
way.
It's
like a rinse, isn't it? It's like you're rinsing.
Well, and your body's not desperate to hold on to those fluids. So edema, your body's trying to hold on to the fluids. When it knows you've got enough fluid, it's going to release it.
It's the human body is amazing,
oh,
isn't
it's
it?
So cool.
You know what? What's the difference between osteopenia and osteoporosis?
Really, it's just the level of bone damage.
So it's
you're at
holes,
the penia
right?
is when you're at the very beginning. The bones are getting brittle. They can't rebuild as rapidly or
got
as
it.
Much. Osteoporosis is the disease has progressed more. And it's
so,
right. There's little holes in your bones
yeah.
and they can't repair it.
But you can repair it though, right? I mean,
you can
repair it with diet.
You can, not at the level that you could have when you were 10 or 12 or 15, but you can. When you make that calcium more available, then your bones can start to rebuild that structure
yeah.
and protect you more. And how you do it is limit your salt.
Yep.
Right? Get your calcium from plants. Now, some of the plants that have the highest calcium that's available to your body, and remember,
yeah.
I'm saying it's available. That means your body can actually use it
to
build
it.
That
yeah.
bone. One of my number one favorites is collard greens.
Wow.
I mean, collard greens are really high
yeah.
in calcium.
I was sure you were going to say broccoli.
Oh, broccoli
sure.
too.
Is
broccoli
it? It's
too.
At the top of the list?
Broccoli too. Another one is tofu.
Oh, I love tofu.
Because you know I do love tofu. It's funny. And it's People, I swear to you, as you get further into the whole food plant-based lifestyle, you'll start to love tofu too.
Yeah, even Gary likes it now.
It's yummy.
Yeah, it is. It's great. Yummy.
I made tofu tacos last night with mole sauce.
Oh, that's chocolate sauce, kind of mole. Isn't that what mole is? A little bit of cocoa or something?
A little bit of cocoa and then so many spices. You can't even believe it.
Yeah.
So I bought it from a lady who used to make it for her family. So tofu is actually processed using calcium, and that's a calcium that's very much available for you when you eat it.
Nice.
Don't forget that there's a lot of foods that are fortified with calcium, right? Orange juice sometimes, soy milk, they put it in. I make my own almond milk, so that's not really an option.
One of these days, I need to watch you do it. I need to just be like, all right, I'm coming over. We're going to make some almond milk.
It is true. I do like my almond milk, and it's so easy.
Yeah.
It is so easy.
You told me how easy it is, and I need to just see how easy it is so I can be like, oh, God, stop buying this stuff.
Well, container-wise, and all that's in it is almond and water.
Right.
So there's no preservatives, there's no nothing, no binders. So with calcium, if you have a cup of calcium, a serving of calcium, a cup of calcium, that's 506 milligrams of calcium that's available to your body.
Mm.
Now, we recommend that people have close to 1,000 a day, right?
Right.
As you age and whatnot, especially once you're over 50. So there's half your dose.
Right.
And then if you look at collard greens, a cup of cooked collard greens, now I kind of like them raw, but a cup of cooked, that's 350 milligrams of calcium.
In one cup.
So you could do a stir fry with collard greens, tofu, throw in a little bit of kale because that's 180 and it grows, grows in the cracks. Okra, beet greens, molasses, which I'm not a huge fan of. I don't know anybody who
No, I don't think molasses, no.
Almonds have 80.
How about dates?
1 ounce of almonds.
Are dates on the list at all?
They are not on this list, but I will check that out.
Okay, all right.
I know you love dates.
I
haven't been getting that many great dates lately. It's been very frustrating. So you want to exercise too, though.
Yeah.
Exercise is very important for your bones, and it's going to be some kind of a stress exercise. So it's not like swimming isn't as great, unfortunately, because you want weight-bearing exercise.
Weight-bearing. So,
right? So either
doing weights or lifting.
Walking.
Or, yes.
But if you're going to do walking, fine, hiking, wonderful for your long bones, you know, your hips, your femur, your big leg bones, all of that. But you want to do something for your upper body, too. So you might want to do weights, planks, you know, yoga planks.
Yeah,
holy
planks.
Moly.
Oh, my gosh,
you're
they're so good.
You're holding up your own weight. Yeah, they're good.
Yeah. Well, you know what else? I mean, and for ladies that want to do something that doesn't require them to get down on the floor, you can do wall push-ups, you know, just go right up to the wall.
Oh, I do those.
Do you do those?
Well, I'm not very good at floor push-ups. Not even the girl push-ups. I'm such a wuss. So I do the wall, or as I get stronger, I started doing like a coffee table and just to build up my upper body strength. So making sure that you're exercising and really working it so that you can get it, what you need. The other is don't smoke.
You know,
we know that smoking reduces your metabolism. It reduces all these other things, and it reduces the bone regrowth. So don't smoke if you can stop, cut down, whatever.
You know what's interesting about that is I heard somebody making kind of the comparison between whole food plant-based living, animal products, and cigarettes. And they're like, well, so, you know, well, should we just tell people to just, you know, have cut down to animal products once a day? And it was a doctor that was on the other end of the conversation. And he goes, look, when people smoke cigarettes, smoking causes lung cancer. There's no question about that. He goes, we all know that. And he goes, and animal products cause heart disease, liver disease, cancer, diabetes, obesity. Yeah, he's like
Alzheimer's, you name it.
Right. He's like, animal products cause cancer and massive numbers of disease. He goes, so do we tell people, you know, just cut down to half a pack of cigarettes a day? Or do we tell them, stop smoking?
Please stop smoking.
Right. And he's like, so we don't say to people, well, try to cut down to one, you know, serving of animal products a day. He's like, stop eating animal products. I was like, way to go, doc. Way to go, man.
You know what's so exciting about that, though, is the information is getting out there. When I first started teaching this and talking about this, it was probably, 10 years ago when I first studied
The China study
and some of the information from Dr. Campbell. People thought I was crazy. And you remember, I used to teach. So I lectured at 80 nursing students once a week, twice a week, talking to them about alternatives to the standard American diet. And they would roll their eyes. Right. And they would look at me like, oh my gosh, she's so crazy.
She's so out of it. She's crazy. A hippie. What is she thinking?
Yeah. Oh, constantly, constantly. Now, of course, they all loved my food.
Right. Yeah. Right? Come to the potluck and we race for Sherry's stuff first.
Right.
Yeah.
They did too. And since I was a teacher, sometimes we'd have a potluck and I'd say, well, we're going to have a theme this time.
It's going to be whole food plant-based.
I did too.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
And I'd be like, go home and figure it out.
Yeah, good. Did you have some good
sweet.
Things?
Oh, you know, the young men all seem to bring in salsa and chips.
Yeah.
My young female students would get a little more adventuresome.
A little
but
more
it was
creative.
Really good. And it was nice for them to see. There's an option.
Yes.
There's an option. And, you know, that was, what, 12 years ago. So now it's becoming more mainstream.
And
people
really
hear
is.
What we're saying and they believe it, but they don't want to own it. And I guess what I'm saying when we go back to the bone health, the information's here. I'm telling you, get your calcium from plants.
Right.
Get them from beans. Beans
right.
are high. Get them from tofu. Get your calcium so that your body can actually use it and not try to compensate for it. Because when you're constantly putting acidic products like high protein, dairy, it's acidic. It's actually pulling calcium from your
you're
bones.
Literally
so you're
fighting
not,
your body
you're,
when you're doing
you are,
that. Yeah.
And you're not absorbing as much calcium. So you may have a glass of milk and it's got 350 milligrams of calcium in it.
Right.
But how much is your body absorbing? Whereas I'm saying if you eat tofu, you're going to get that calcium and your body's going to be able to use it.
Yes.
Unless, of course, you chop up chicken and put that in there.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
And again, remember, go back to the fact that so many of these vegetables are a package of vitamins. They don't just come with calcium.
Right.
Right? They come with magnesium. They come with potassium. Now, you do need vitamin D for your bones, too.
Which is a hormone. Everybody, we hear of it as vitamin D, but it's a
like
hormone.
B12 is a bacteria. It's not a vitamin.
Right.
Go outside 15 minutes a day if you can. If you can't, then it's worth getting a D3 supplement.
Right, but on your bare skin, right? So it's not like go outside under an umbrella with, you know, long
with
sleeves
goggles,
on and
gloves. Nope. Your skin has to produce it.
Yes.
So, you know, take your vitamin D. But the rest of it, get it from plants. Get it from beans. Get it from all those things that really are a package just for you, for your body.
You know what's crazy is All the things, kidney disease, overweight, obesity, heart disease, liver disease, cancer, lung disease, all these things really come down to lifestyle.
Oh, yeah.
They all come back to lifestyle. There's
healthy
this one
food, exercise,
this
hydration.
One common factor. And it is healthy food, exercise, hydration, sleep.
Yep. Absolutely.
Your thought process, all those things.
Limit alcohol.
Yep.
You know, don't smoke. It's pretty easy. And I think people are understanding that. But what I want people to hear is you can jump in with 2 feet like you did, I did.
Yep.
I was already a vegetarian and lactose intolerant.
So that
big jump wasn't big.
Yeah.
Because I had already been doing it. But really, if you can't jump in with 2 feet, then introduce 2 vegetables, 2 fruits every day.
Yeah.
And we're not talking potatoes unless they're potatoes that you just mashed with the skin on.
Yeah, we're not talking
not
about
fries,
French fries. Right.
And we're not talking about ketchup.
We're not talking about potato chips.
Nope. And if it really is expanding, because I met this one woman who has never cooked. She's in her late 60s and she said, what does garlic look like?
Oh my gosh, you're kidding.
And I was going, what? So some people
you
really...
You mean like a clove of garlic, like a head of garlic. She didn't know.
Because she's never really cooked. She's always kind of done processed food, you know, microwave food, things like that, takeout. So if you're in that category, that's okay.
Yeah.
But you can improve your health at least 30% by having 2 vegetables, 2 fruits. And you know what? If it's salad, it's salad.
Right.
Right? You can get a big bowl of prepackaged lettuce.
Yep.
Right? It's better to do microgreens because they have a little bit more nutritional value.
Yep.
And those are the, you know, baby spinach, baby kale, baby collards.
Yep.
a little bit of red cabbage, things like that. So the more color, the healthier. In a big bowl.
Yep.
You know what? Dice up an apple, dice up some carrots, dice up some celery, sprinkle either lemon on it or mix Dijon mustard and a little balsamic and a little maple syrups.
Yep.
You got an amazing salad dressing that's got no fat. Other than the maple syrup, it's really low sugar. And maple syrup is better for you than honey or others just because of the glucose level and your insulin needs. Sprinkle that on top of it, and you've just introduced at least 2 to 3 vegetables in one sitting.
In one sitting. And coming back to that crowding out theory, if and I hate to say it, but I'm saying it. I'm going there. I'm doing it. You said something to the effect of, you know, and if you can't jump in with 2 feet, the fact of the matter is you can.
Well, you can. Yeah, but we got to remember that people may need support and they may need evidence. And once they start eating this way, they're going to feel better and they're going to go, oh, yeah, I'm all in.
Right.
Instead of it being that crazy Sherry and Misty on the radio.
Right.
It's like, oh.
I know. And I guess the thing is, you know, it comes down to you have to make the decision. You have to decide to fight for yourself.
You do.
No one else is going to put a higher premium on your health than you. And in fact, there's a lot of folks perhaps around you. Most of us are the accumulation of the 5 people we hang with. You know, if we hang with people that have poor health and hygiene habits, we're going to have poor health and hygiene habits. And if we become the one person in our group that has better health and hygiene habits, we might be able to become a light to the people around us as well.
How many people have you pulled into this
eating
habit? And have you had one person say they don't feel better?
No.
They don't sleep better.
No.
They haven't lost weight.
No.
They don't. My favorite is this term brain fog. I don't know how many people say, I think clearer.
Yeah. I can tell you I do. I think so much clearer. That all happened really when I started on the low fat. When I went ultra low fat, the weight fell off, the thinking got clearer, everything. And I was, last night Gary and I were talking about this.
Oh my gosh.
This is all we talk about, Sherry. It's all we talk about. You know, I said to him, it's amazing that I've made so much progress in my own body in just such a short period of time. And I wonder what's next. Is there a next? There might be a next for me. I don't know what it is. I'm not really sure what would be next. I mean, my feeling would be like raw maybe, but I don't know that I want to go. I like cooked food.
I've heard people who love raw food, and that's where basically the only thing you do, I think, is dehydrate.
Yeah, or you cook to maybe like 170 degrees is considered raw.
Kind of like dehydration. You're right.
Yeah, I kind of don't really want to go there, and I'm feeling pretty freaking great.
I love cooking. So if you took my cooking away from me, I think I would be very sad.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stick with
me too.
Where I'm at. Because it's worked for me. I feel great.
Yes.
I'm 60 years old, no medication. Fall off a ladder and bounce.
Oh my gosh, you bounce.
Know? So I'm pretty happy with how I feel, how I think, and how I run my life. And I think the best thing is for my children, I'm going to be in the best health that I can so they don't have to take care of me or worry about me as much.
Nice. Well, you know what? When you are in the phase of life that you're in, you are healthy. You know, you've lived these first 60 years with this extreme focus on health, and you have longevity typically in your family. You know, there's a history of longevity in your family. What if you live to 105 or 110?
No, but you could though.
You could
in our science. And a lot of the thing people don't realize is when you eat this healthy, it's never too late.
Right.
You will always get some sort of benefit by adding healthy fruit, vegetables, legumes, grains, nuts, seeds. You're gonna improve whatever health status you're at now.
Right.
And it does rebuild your tissue. It rebuilds your brain cells. It really does heal your body. So if I live to 110, I don't know, it's going to really put a damper on my retirement.
You're probably set up for that. Come on
now. I'm going to have to go back to work because. No, but it does improve. And some lessons, don't wait. Not worth it, because every day you're eating a standard American diet and you're not including fruit and vegetables, beans, and grains and nuts and seeds is another day that you're not healing yourself.
It's another lost opportunity.
And you're adding more damage because we know that food is damaged. The standard American diet is damaging.
Bottom line, it's damaging.
It's hurting you from every cell, skin, you know, muscle, your liver, your internal organs, all of that is being damaged with every bite you take.
That's so amazing. And I want to end right there, but I can't because I've got to ask you a couple more questions. So we know, everybody knows, and then I'm going to ask you a question. You're going to be just like, what? Are you for real? Are you really asking me that? Yes, I'm really going to ask you this. Okay, we know that cells are alive.
Yep.
We know that blood cells are alive. We know that tissue is alive. Our bones are obviously alive, right?
Yeah.
They're not like a PVC pipe that's in your body that can't grow, right? That makes sense, right? Because if you break a bone, the bone grows back together.
Right.
Okay, so I'm sorry. I sounded really dumb.
No, you never sound dumb. But you've got that regrowth. You've got that rebuilding. And that's the whole process of osteoporosis is when your body stops rebuilding.
So the goal is put the right foods, the right phytochemicals.
Absolutely.
And these are the phytochemicals. That means the plant chemicals,
the plant nutrients
and the minerals. Put those in. Well, if you think about it, you know, you mentioned collard greens. Now, those are those big things that are long, flat leaves.
They make great wraps.
I have had them as wraps. They do make good wraps. But when they grow, do they stand up on their little stem and then like a big, does the leaf stand up or does it fall over?
Mine stand up.
They stand up. Okay.
So that means
the same thing that broccoli, right? The skeleton that is holding up the plant is the same material that comes part of your skeleton.
I mean, it's definitely got the minerals in it, but it's also the magic of fiber.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Right. So plants don't have skeletons. They have fiber.
They do have fiber.
They have minerals. They have nutrients.
Yeah.
And those skeleton, fiber, mineral nutrients are the same things that help build our skeletons.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I like skeletons.
I know you do. And dang, you want those little broccolis to have little
I do.
Bones in there.
I know.
I'm holding you up. But it's mainly fiber.
It's fiber. I love the magic of fiber. Fiber is the thing, really, isn't it, that helps our bodies in so many ways, whether it's from weight loss or digestive satisfaction and moving things through our bodies and cleaning out and detoxing, all of those things.
Pretty incredible.
It is pretty incredible. It's amazing and it's wonderful. And I think that's a good place to kind of bring this discussion to a close. Wow. Here we are. It always goes so fast.
It goes so fast.
It goes too fast.
It goes fast. But remember, get your calcium from plants.
That's right. And so the last thing I'd like to share with our listeners is this. If you are interested in learning more about this, get on Google. Look up a couple of things. Look up the book called The China Study. Again, The China Study is by T. Colin Campbell and Thomas M. Campbell. And go to nutritionfacts.org. That's Dr. Greger's website. It's completely free. Everything on there is free. You can just type in calcium and you'll find tons of references.
So many articles.
Yeah, articles, blog posts, videos, audios, transcripts.
Research
based. That's right. And everything we share with you here on the Ocean Mist Power Hour is always evidence-based nutrition.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for being here, Sherry. Thank you for sharing your knowledge.
Thank you. So much fun.
Appreciate it. And to all the folks that are listening today, thanks for being here with us. And we'll see you again soon.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. The information provided is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or other qualified healthcare professional before changing your healthcare treatment, diet, or lifestyle.